What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. But are we actually sure it's a rose at all? According to new research, around 50% of species may be sitting under the wrong names in museums and other collections. Georgia Mills has the story.
Here is a riddle for you. What do Beyoncé, David Attenborough and Darth Vader have in common? Stumped? Well, they all have had one of the greatest biological honours. They've had species named after them. Every single specimen on Earth known to science has been given a name, from us, the Homo sapiens, to the bumblebee, Bombus supremus. But news broke this week from a study published in Current Biology that up to half the world's specimens might be sitting under the wrong name. The group re-examined all the species from a group of plants, the gingers, and found that most of them had been given the wrong name at some point throughout history, and many still had. I spoke to lead researcher Zoe Goodwin to find out why this is.
The main reason is just because there's a huge volume of specimens and tons of new species coming in, and it's a very complex set of things you're looking at. In order to make sense of it, you have to basically become an expert in that group. So it's a lack of expertise, it's too many specimens coming in, and to an extent, it's, you know, the people who originally did describe these species, you know, they were describing it based upon one or two specimens, so their knowledge of the species was very different to what we know now. There's natural degeneracy in the system because people get old and they have to retire, or they just have to move onto other things. So there's a lot of groups where nobody's working on them. Nobody's been working on them for maybe 40 or 50 years.
Why is it that we don't have enough experts at the moment, do you think?
Part of the reason is that the current academic research system doesn't benefit a discipline such as taxonomy. So taxonomy doesn't have a high impact factor, which is one of the ways we judge the importance of research that's been published. And it's not sexy. It doesn't bring huge amounts of funding in. And that's another way we're judged on our work. So although it's fundamental to all of science that we understand which species we're talking about, the current system doesn't benefit taxonomy, the study and classification of plants and animals.
Why would you say this is a problem, that we don't have maybe the correct label on every single specimen in a museum? Does it really matter?
This underpins the whole of biology. You can't study organisms if you don't know which organisms you're studying, and more fundamental things in life. If we were walking in a tropical forest and I handed you a fruit, but I wasn't sure what it was, but I thought it was probably edible, you would probably say, I don't think I'm going to eat that because you're not convinced.
Okay, you've convinced me it's a big deal. What can we do about this then?
Digitisation and DNA work, it has its place as a helpful tool, but fundamentally we need people who can just sit there and look at these specimens, go out into the field, collect them, look at the plants in the wild, really understand the species and communicate that knowledge to other people.
Sounds to me like there's just too many species.
Yeah, if only the world wasn't so biodiverse. No, it's
Sounds like we're solving that problem ourselves.
We're doing a good job on that one.
Having an expert on a group of animals or plants is clearly very important if you want to get the names right. I went to meet one of these experts, Dr. Henry Disney from the University of Cambridge, who is the world authority on a tiny insect called the scuttlefly. We're standing in your office right now, and there's cabinets full of hundreds and hundreds of trays with presumably specimens on them. Are these species you've named?
A lot of them are ones I've named, but that is a collection of scuttleflies of the world. There are about 1,500 species there. That's the most important collection of slide-mounted scuttleflies in the world. So there is a dissected scuttlefly. And that's a reasonable sized one, because that's about 2 to 3 millimetres long.
Just looking at the slide, these animals are absolutely tiny, and you have to tell these things apart. They all just look like full stops to me.
I prepare slide mounts of them and then put them under the microscope, and I take them through the world literature until I eventually have ruled it out. And then once I prove that it's undescribed, well, then I set about giving a formal description.
Taking the anatomy information, the genetics information, and putting it all together, and you decide you have got a new species, how do you go about naming it?
They have to be in Roman script. So I can pull out a Chinese monograph, and immediately you can pick out all the scientific names, because they're in Roman script, but everything else is in Chinese script. And then they have to conform with the rules of Latin grammar. Now, I've named them after people. I took part in the Project Wallace expedition to Sulawesi in 1985, where we had scientists coming and going all year. We had an Army, Navy, Air Force, Gurkha support team. So I named a fly after each one of them as a thank you. And then I've named them after habits of the thing, after the, a common thing is after the place.
So most species are named after a place, their habits, or named for someone. But some scientists seem to have a little bit of fun naming their species. A quick Google revealed a fly called Here's Looking Atcha, a beetle called Agrocadabra, and my personal favourite, a spider called Apopolis, now one for the movie lovers.
There's some wonderful names. There's a series of marine isopods where the anagrams of the name Caroline, because Queen Caroline, there was a certain amount of scandal around her at the time. And then my late colleague, he used to work on the entomology abstracts for the flies and had a colleague who did the abstracts for beetles, but she was a fundamentalist and she refused to abstract a paper on a beetle called Beelzebub, Beelzebubi. And that was someone having a joke.
Are you allowed to name species after yourself? You mentioned
no, that,
you've named...
That is considered unethical after yourself. When I was trapping crabs in African basket traps, we also used to catch fish and snakes and things. But then a group of fish people came out and made them guests of the laboratory. And so I said, well, you better look at some of the fish that we're eating. And sure enough, a couple of them are new to science, including the staple diet of one village. So they named the one with nasty poisonous spines after me. And the pretty one they named after an American who took a pretty picture of it.
Henry Disney, and before him, Zoe Goodwin. They were speaking with Georgia Mills. My favourite species name, the Hoff crab, named after David Hasselhoff, the Baywatch swimmer slash actor. Why did they name it that? Well, it has a very, very hairy underside, apparently.
Nice one. Maybe one day you'll get a species named after you, Chris.